Hey, let's assemble ourselves for the study of the Word of God. With a preacher's wife, please assemble herself for the study of the Word of God. Yeah. Evan, how are you doing this morning? Good. That's good. Thank you. Appreciate you asking. Okay, let's open the Word of God to John chapter 14, please, or John 13. Kind of orient to where we are in our study. And people, it is impossible to grasp what's going on in Scripture without the illuminating ministry of God the Holy Spirit. So let's spend a moment in prayer, testing yourself to see if you're trusting His Spirit to open your eyes to the truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there is so much in the Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation for our edification, for our maturity, for our strength and courage. And Father, we pray this morning Your Spirit will open our eyes to the passages we're looking at this morning, that we may indeed love as our Savior loved. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, I don't want you to lose where we are. In John 13, we have the betrayal, followed by the departure, followed by the new commandment. Look at verse 31. Therefore, when he had gone out, this is Judas, to betray, it was Satan indwelling him, to betray the Savior. Therefore, when he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. Talking about the coming crucifixion. God, if God is glorified in him, since God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him immediately. Now the departure. Little children, I'm with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. Now we go from that to the new commandment. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now, getting ready to show you how powerful the new commandment is and how important it is, in the next hour, in Colossians, let me show you what we're going to be looking at. Look at Colossians 3. You know what? That's wrong. This is next Sunday morning. Not this Sunday morning, what we're getting ready to read. Well, let's read it anyway. All right. Colossians chapter 3, and let's read verses 12 through 14, which we'll do next Sunday morning. So, preview of coming attraction. All right. 12. Colossians 3. So, as those who have been chosen of God, and you're chosen of God when you believe in Christ, the election does not take place outside of Christ. It takes place in Christ. Holy, that's what you are in Christ. Beloved, that's what you are in Christ. Now, put on a heart of compassion. What in the world does that mean? Well, we'll find out. Kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bearing with one another. And forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Now look at verse 14. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And that is spiritual love of the new commandment. So let's take up where we left off last Sunday morning. Love one another as I have loved you. Now this is in contrast to the Mosaic Law. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. In other words, you love your neighbor for your own good, seeking your own self-interest. In other words, you see your need are what you think you need. You don't see their need, you see your need. That's how you love someone as you love yourself. Now, Jesus Christ has upped the stakes. Jesus Christ, under the new commandment, instead of a love based on self and self-need, we are to love just as Jesus Christ loves you, which is a love that seeks the object's benefit, the object's good. Under the new commandment, Jesus Christ changed the foundation, up the stakes. Now we have to think not of ourselves. By virtue of the new commandment, do not think of yourself, you think of Jesus Christ. You're not allowed to think of yourself under the new commandment. We have to think of Jesus Christ and how Jesus Christ loves us. And then we will know how to love one another. And only then, instead of a love based on self, our love is based on Jesus Christ. We are to love based on Christ's love for us, which is a love that seeks our good, our benefit, His sacrifice. So it says in John 13 that you love one another. This is a present, active imperative. People, I can't say enough about imperatives. Next Sunday morning, Colossians study is vital. It's crucial. Some will think it's useless. To me, it's absolutely imperative, that we understand the importance of the imperative mood, why it's there. The imperatives given to us in the Bible, you cannot do. Then why are they given? So that we'll know what God desires for us to do. And we'll find out how we can do it. And we can only do it in the power of the Spirit. So this is a present active imperative that you love one another. Of the verb agapao, present tense, throughout your life. Every day. When you don't want to, when you want to. Active voice, you have to make the decision. Now, I'll jump ahead. The decision is not to love. That's not your decision. Your decision is to be filled with the Spirit. He will pour in the love. You don't make a decision to love someone as Christ loved. You make a decision to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will pour in His fruit of love to you. So the active voice is your part. But you don't make a decision to love. You can't do that in the flesh. And that's where a lot of people, Christians, are so far off base. They want to do it in the flesh. You cannot fulfill this commandment in the flesh. It has to be in the power of the Spirit. And then the imperative mood, introducing the impossibility of this love. It is impossible in the flesh to love as Christ loved. Therefore, it is impossible in our flesh to love Jesus Christ, to love as Christ loved. So, since it is impossible to love this way, why did Christ give the commandment? If it's impossible, how can I say it's an imperative, it's impossible, when Christ gave it? Hey, I can read the command. I know commands. I've been in the military. Walk, run, about face, draw it forward, 50 push-ups, on and on and on. I know what all that. I can do it. No, you can't. That's the secret of the Christian life. You can't do it. You cannot do it in the flesh. So, since we can't do it, why did Christ give it? First, so that we will know what He desires. Commands are given in the Bible that we will know. The new commandment, we will know what Christ desires. He desires a love that imitates His love. So that all will know that we belong to Him. Secondly, so we will find out how we can fulfill the desire. So He gives it so we'll know what He desires. And secondly, should be, no, I can't do that. And if you're honest, you know you can't. There are times and people, you don't want to love them as Christ loved. They don't deserve you to love them as Christ loved. Of course, you do deserve your love from Christ, though. But they don't deserve your love from you. And that's how that works. And then thirdly, how can I do that? How can I love as Christ loved? I need to know that. And that's why, I'm sorry there's a chapter break here, but in a little while, in the discussion in the upper room, Christ will tell them, I'm going to send you another one just like me, only he will be spirit, not flesh, not human. Be spirit, the Holy Spirit. So we will know how we can fulfill this commandment. We'll seek it out. Search it out. How can I do it? See? That you keep on loving one another. The reciprocal pronoun comes from the root alos, A-L-L-O-S, which refers to another of the same kind. Okay, people, understand what's going on in these commandments. The old commandment, under the Mosaic law, love your neighbor. This is racial. Another Hebrew. Here, love one another of the same kind is spiritual. Another one who has believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. That's very important. Yes, we to love unbelievers. That's easy. We don't expect anything from an unbeliever. But we expect it from a believer, and we don't get it. You mean you're a believer and you do this to me? You're a believer? No, no. We expect it. It's difficult, impossible in the flesh, to love one another. Now, next, we have a very important Greek adverb, as. It's a compound adverb. I know it just looks like two letters in the English, but it's a compound adverb in the Greek, and here best translated, just as. Keep on loving one another just as I have loved you. Now this time, we have the aorist active indicative. Imperative, love one another. Just as I have. That's an aorist active indicative. It's done. It's done. It's fulfilled. Aorist tense gathers into one concept everything Jesus Christ did for us. As God, he became man. As man, he became our servant, died on the cross. Dying on the cross, he took care of our sins. Buried, and then resurrected. All of that is involved in the aorist tense. Active voice, Jesus Christ performed the action of the verb. He loved us so much that he loved us, that he saw our need and met our need. Now, here's the key, that active voice. If Jesus Christ loved us from his deity, we cannot fulfill this command. If Jesus Christ loved us from his perfect humanity, we cannot fulfill this command. He loved us out of the power of the Holy Spirit. Now we can fulfill it because we have that same Spirit in us that he had in him. So the active voice is very important. And then the indicative mood, historical reality. The indicative mood tells you historical reality of the love of Christ for us. Just as I have loved you. Now, this is so important in understanding this love. Understanding what all love requires of each of us toward one another. People, if you want to know what love looks like, look at how Christ loves. If you want to know how to love someone, look at how Christ loves you. He's the standard. He set the standard. If it doesn't measure up to his love, it's not love. It's love of the old commandment on the flesh, as you love yourself. But it's not the commandment of the new commandment of Jesus Christ. He set the standard. He established a pattern, just as I love. Don't look at somebody else. Don't look at yourself. Look at Christ. How he stands. This is why Peter says, keep increasing in the knowledge of Christ. You've got to keep on studying the Word of God all your life. And the more we study Christ, the more we learn how to love. People, I encourage you, I beg you, please be in prayer for camp. It's almost a month away. Because the subject of the camp for these young people is making Jesus Christ your life. Be in prayer for the teachers, Jody Brown, Chris Day, myself. Be in prayer for the counselors in their dorms. Be in prayer for these kids, that they will allow the Holy Spirit to open their eyes to the truth of Jesus Christ. He's the standard. This is why few Christians really understand love, because they don't understand Christ. Why did they not understand Christ? Because they don't go to a church where the Word of God is taught, verse by verse, word by word. They don't study it. How can I know it if I don't? Therefore, love becomes what I want it to become. Love becomes what I think it should become. No, you're not the standard. Jesus Christ is the standard. And if He's the standard, you've got to study Him and learn about Him, so that you'll know how to love. So many people ignore learning about Jesus Christ. They want to dilute love to things like, well, God is love, therefore no one's going to the lake of fire. Everyone's going to be saved. That's real love. That's not love. That's not true love. That's not loving as Christ loved. People, look at Christ. He understood that that's not true. He understood it to the point He went to the cross and died spiritually, physically, for us on the cross, and rose again. Of all the people on earth that understand that everyone is not going to be in heaven, everyone is not going to be in the lake of fire, that it's going to be decided upon a decision, was Jesus Christ. If He hadn't come, we'd all spend eternity in the lake of fire. But He did come, because He understood this. You've got to understand Christ to understand His love. See, learn from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ knows what is true and what is needed. See, in regard to the lake of fire, eternity, and God's love. Everyone can be imputed the righteousness of God if they believe in Jesus Christ by faith alone. If they don't, they don't have it. And if you don't have that righteousness, you're destined for eternity in a lake of fire. You always have to remember, God is love, God is perfect righteousness, and they go together. His love will never violate His righteousness. Now, this means that the pattern for love has been established. We are to love according to that standard of love. Therefore, we learn something very important about love. Here's what you need to walk away from this morning. Love is known in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. Love is known in a person. That person is Jesus Christ. We do not love as we love ourselves under the Mosaic Law. We do not love as we wish. When it suits us, when it pleases us, not a love that satisfies self. Or, as most people, we do not love with a love that does not impose on us. People, please understand, nothing will impose on you more than the new commandment, to love one another as I have loved you. Not morality, not going to church, not treating people. The greatest demands in your life will be made under love, because it will demand what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it. So nothing will demand greater, make greater demands on us than to love as Christ loved. Most people's love is a love that doesn't impose on them. I think in the selfish generation we live in America, this is why so many people will not marry. They'll shack up. They'll even have children. All this kind of stuff. They won't marry. They don't want a love that imposes on them. And that's what women try not to be, and that's what men try not to be. And that has become the standard for our young people. It's a false standard. The love, loving as Christ loved, imposes on us. Imposes on us when we don't want it to, how we don't want it to, when we don't want it to. It imposes on us. It imposed upon Him. It cost Him the cross. It will impose on us in our life. So we must remember this. This is why most people love with a love that doesn't impose on them. We are to love one another that makes great demands on our life. Maybe your money. For a lot of us, time. A lot of people, they have no problem pulling out a $100 bill. Just don't ask me for my time. Just don't ask me for my time. My time, I got things I need to do. Other people, it's their time that they'll give you. Don't ask me for any of my money. My money is mine. See? So, this is a love that will impose on your time, your money, your life. Now, you decide. Do you want to love like Christ does or not? It sounds nice. Oh, yeah, I want to. No. Be careful. Be careful before you walk into that. I don't know how I'm going to say this to the kids next month, because that would scare them off right there. I'd lose them. That cancels that out. I don't want that. So I've got to be careful I don't say it that way. But people, you got to make up your mind. Because this love will impose on you. It will impose on your time. It will impose on your money. It will impose on you. Now, we are to love with a love where the precedence has already been established for us by our Savior friend, Jesus Christ. We are to love according to the pattern, just as I have loved you. We love in conformity to another love already established. We love in conformity with His love for us. People, think about this. All through Scripture, God has set the pattern for everything. We forgive in the same manner that God the Father forgives. Look at Ephesians 4. Look at Ephesians 4 for a moment. Ephesians 4:32. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another. Well, we'll study that in Colossians starting next week. Tender-hearted. What in the world does that mean? That doesn't mean be a doormat. We'll find out what it means. But here's what we're going to concentrate on this morning. Forgiving each other. Uh-oh. Just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Now, I want to tell you, this verse is packed, and we don't have time for it all. But be kind. Well, let me just tell you right up front, this is the same root word used in 1 Corinthians 13 in describing spiritual love. Spiritual love is kind. Then we have the word to one another. Another of the same kind. Another believer. We have seen that Jesus Christ desires that we love Him. And it is very important to Jesus Christ that we have spiritual love toward one another. See? Be kind toward one another. Now, tender-hearted. Full of compassion. We'll see this starting next week in Colossians 3. This is one like love. People get really sloppy concerning. We'll take a look at it later. But, and then just to show you, tender-hearted. Think what you think about that. Now look at 2 Thessalonians a moment, real quick. Hold your place here, but look at 2 Thessalonians. And we're concentrating on being tender-hearted, full of compassion. See how this lines up with 2 Thessalonians 3:14. And if I was ever going to have one of those circles where everybody gets to say what something means, I'd love to do it on this. See how y'all justify these two. In our passage in Ephesians, tender-hearted. 2 Thessalonians 3:14, if anyone, another believer, does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special notice of that person, do not associate with him, so that he will be put to shame. Whoa! Whoa! Where's the tender-heartedness in that? See? Let's say someone is an adulterer. homosexual, lesbian, promiscuous, or one who does all the things that we know that we shouldn't do by practice. That's our practice. See? This passage instructs, see, a steadfastness. Steadfastness. Not to even associate with such a one. But wait, where is the tender-hearted? Where is the compassion? This is why we must understand Scripture, so that he will be put to shame. That is tender-heartedness. That is compassion. Not that you will feel not that they will feel okay in their lifestyle. Not that they will think you and God and everybody's accepting them. It will cause them to be alert. Wait a minute. This isn't what God wants me to be doing. See, that's being tender-hearted. It hurts sometimes, but that's being compassionate. See? Now let's go back to Ephesians 4:32. We love in conformity to His love. We forgive in the same manner God the Father forgives. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted. Now, forgiving each other, one another, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Okay. How did God forgive us? On the basis of the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross. You know, unbelievers have no foundation for forgiveness. But often unbelievers will forgive much faster, more readily than believers will. And they have no foundation for it. They just, well, it's better to get along in life, and basically we're all good people, all that kind of stuff. Christians, we have the foundation for forgiveness, and we won't do it. We find it difficult to forgive. And we're the only ones who have a foundation for it. Just as God has forgiven you. Not based on what you are. Not based upon what they are. Based upon what Christ did on the cross. Everything in our life goes back to Jesus Christ, people. That's why we got to keep growing in the knowledge of Him. So, unbelievers, no foundation. They forgive. And move right on. Believers, with the cross, don't forgive. They'll hold it against you. We have the cross. They have nothing. We ought to forgive all the time. Readily. Because of the cross work of Christ. We love in conformity with His love for us. We forgive in the same manner that God the Father forgives us. We serve one another as He served us. This is how we serve one another. People, this is the law of Christ. Some Christians just love law. I don't understand it, but they do. They love law. Okay, look at Galatians 6. You love law, here's your law. You love law, here's your law. Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Whoa! That's what He did for us on the cross, people. Now, let me tell you what's going on in the Greek here. Bear one another's burdens. These are burdens that are caused by sin. I used to be taught, when somebody's in sin, stay away from them so you don't share their discipline. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, get in there, help them with their burdens. Why? So that they can stand up. So that they can get back into the Holy Spirit. So that they can move on in the plan of God. Bear their burdens. See? Help them get up and move on. That's the law of Christ. That's what Christ did for us. See? So, the great issue in this whole issue of love is that we have the freedom to love as Christ loved. We can choose to love as Jesus Christ loved. We can choose not to love as Jesus Christ loved. according to the standard he put up. And what is so fickle about Christians? Christians are fickle. You want to know what Christians are like? I don't advise it anymore, but in the old days, today football, professional football is nothing like it used to be. But crowds. One Sunday, the heat quarterback is the hero. The next Sunday, he's a bum. Throw him out of there. Get rid of him. Throw him under the bus. See? That's the way Christians are. We will treat you the right way if it suits us. But the very next time we see you, forget it, you bum. See? That's the way we are. We're fickle. Just like the crowds. We get to choose, though. You can choose to love as Christ loved. You can choose not to love as Christ loved. Spiritual love, love that we're commanded, is not a love that we produce by our own will or determination or integrity of the flesh. You know, don't ever think the flesh has any integrity. It doesn't. Yes, I'm very thankful that my neighbor, let's say this is an unbeliever, is honest, doesn't come over and rob me, doesn't shoot me, doesn't drive his car in my yard. I'm very thankful for that. But people before God, that doesn't matter. I know that's hard to understand. That doesn't matter. The flesh has no integrity before God. Flesh, the imputed, inherited sin nature that we inherited from Adam. Flesh nature does not have the ability to produce this love. It just simply doesn't. And so many people are so impressed with their flesh love. But I love Jesus. But I love you. But I love everybody. I love the world. That kind of thing. People, it doesn't impress God. The flesh cannot produce the love commanded in the new commandment. The flesh does not have the ability to produce this love. Doesn't have the desire to produce this love. Integrity of the flesh, which is an oxymoron, really, but we'll give it a shadow of a doubt. Integrity of the flesh cannot produce the love commanded in the new commandment. Don't be impressed by it. Don't be impressed by your own flesh love. It doesn't impress God. It may impress others, but it doesn't impress God. Let me give you an example. Let's take the law of gravity. Obligation on our part to obey this law never comes up. Never comes up, our obligation to do it. Never an issue. We obey it. You're obeying it right now, even though you didn't make a decision to. See? But not the way it is with spiritual love. With spiritual love, as a new spiritual creation, we possess the freedom. Our ability, the faith, to obey the commandment or not obey it. You don't obey the law of gravity by decision. Let me tell you something. When you love as Christ loved, it's a decision. It's a decision about you, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. I want to love as Christ loved. I've got to be filled with the Spirit. So there's your decision in loving as Christ loved. So your decision, or whether or not you will be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Not whether or not you will even produce this love. It's more basic than that. It's more basic than that. It's a decision about the Holy Spirit. I cannot overemphasize this. Last week we said, lie not to one another in Colossians 3. Do not lie. Your decision is not to lie. Your decision is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will guide you not to lie. He will empower you not to lie. The flesh nature can choose not to lie. And we're very thankful for that in various times in court, in various places. But people, we were in a different level when we're talking spiritually. The flesh nature cannot make a decision not to lie so that it pleases God. All that you and I can do is make a decision. I will be filled with the Spirit. He will lead me, not to lie. It's a personal relationship with God. It's not about lying or not lying to this person. It's about you and God. You and the Holy Spirit. You and Jesus Christ. Not you and this person. And that takes some training. Takes some thought process in our lives. It's not about me and others. It's about me and the Lord. It's about me and His Spirit. And then it's about me and other people. So your decision is whether or not you will be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Not whether you will love them. The first decision we have to make is about the Holy Spirit. All through the New Testament, we're under the new commandment. Colossians 3. That's why I started out this morning with the Colossians 3 study. Above all else, love one another. That's what's spiritual love. Yet Christians insist on what? Judging one another, competing with one another, separating with one another, not loving one another. Why? Because nothing will make greater demands on your life than to love as Christ loved. Nothing. When you don't want to. When you want to, that's easy. It's when you don't want to. Spiritual love makes the command, makes the demands. Okay, go back to John 13. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Okay, that you love one another, new direction of this command. The old commandment, love your neighbor. This commandment, love one another. Another believer in Christ. Then we have the conjunction used as an adverb. Also, likewise, also you yourselves, believers, love. Present, active, imperative, one another. And this is the same love that Jesus Christ loved us. Now, instead of competing, instead of judging, maligning, biting one another, being jealous, hating, embittered. Instead, love them as Christ loved you. There's a whole lot involved in that. You got to take your eyes off of them, put your eyes on Him and on His Spirit, on you, and then you love the same way. It's a process. See, the old commandment, as you love yourself, it's all about me. This is the way most people romantic love. They romantically love that pleases them. That this can make them happy. It's all about me. Spiritual love is about Jesus Christ. It's not about you. It's not about them. It's about Jesus Christ. That's why in a few moments we'll have the phrase, by this, all are going to know something about you. By this, all will know something about you. By the old commandment, they'll all know that you're a Hebrew. Under the new commandment, they're going to know something else. They're going to know you're related to Jesus Christ. But that's coming up. So, with the glorification of Christ at the right hand of God the Father, we move from law to liberty. And with the ending of the law comes liberty. And under liberty, there's a new commandment. And a new love to go with the new commandment. Now, you heard what I just said. I'm going to correct myself. So I put a little parenthesis there. So I don't mislead you as a teacher. What I just said is not totally correct. Why? God never intended Israel to live under the Mosaic Law. He never intended them to do that. It was given. When was it given? It was given to the Israelites in the wilderness. They were so far away from God, and they didn't even know it. They didn't even know they were abandoned from God. So He gave them the Ten Commandments and the law in the wilderness. And why did He give it? To wake them up. Not for them to live under, but to wake them up. Now, to open their eyes to their condition. The law was given that they might know sin. That's why the law was given. But, like religious people, like legalists, that's how we want to live. We want to live by law. See, that'll straighten us out. That's the cure to sin. The cure to sin is law. That's what Israel thought. People, that's the worst cure to sin there is. All you have to do is be a parent. Tell a kid not to do something and see how many minutes it takes him to try to do it. See? Don't stick your finger in the fan. See? That's our nature. That's our sin nature. And that's why they want to live by law. Well, the law says this and the law says that. That's how we want to live. See? And we're all that way to some degree. I love the law. I love to know what's the speed limit here. But I tell you what I really love to know, how far above that can I go that the police will let me go? If the speed limit's 75, can I go 80? Can I go 79? Can I go 78? See? People love law. Law increases sin. So Israel chose to continue to live under the law, contrary to the grace life offered them in the Abrahamic covenant. The Abrahamic covenant's a grace covenant. That's what they should have chosen to live by, but they chose not to. See, just as today, and really throughout all the church age, very few have lived and do live under grace. How you save? Works. How you fill the Spirit? Works. Do something. Repent. Confess. Do. Very few Christians know about living by grace and desire to live by grace. But once you catch on to grace, you go, wow, this is great. All I have to do is trust Him. I can do that. See? But no, law. We want to make law. Saved by the law, filled with the Spirit by the law, live by the law. That's what Galatians is about. Saved by grace, live by law. That's what they wanted to do. And Paul makes it very clear, you don't do that. You've been set free. Don't put yourself under the bondage of law again. So, throughout the church age, we've chosen to live by law, not by grace. Now, the commandments of the Mosaic Law were designed to give consciousness of the power of sin. The cross, what does the cross teach us? The penalty of sin. The penalty of sin. New commandment talks about the power of sin over our lives. Christ redeemed us from the penalty of sin. The Holy Spirit redeems us from the power of sin. See? The weakness of the flesh. And by giving this consciousness, by God giving this consciousness of the nature of man to sin, giving to man the knowledge of sin, by following the commands of the Mosaic Law, man is reminded of his weakness and sin. Think about it. Don't steal. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't covet. Conscious of the sins. Paul says, I was not aware of covetousness until the law says, do not covet. And then I learned about covetousness. The commands of the Mosaic Law emphasize sin and man's condition related to sin and reminds man of the power of sin. The commands of the Mosaic Law orient man to the fact that he is a sinner and he's a Savior. It amazes me the number of people who still choose to live by the Mosaic Law in the church age. But it also explains several things. Let's take a look. One, why these people are oriented to sin. That's all some preachers can talk about. That's all some people can talk about, is other people's sins. And therefore thrive on judging others and self and God. Because they're oriented to sin. They thrive on sin, thinking about sin, sins of others, their own sins, judging, being judged, being approved, disapproved, the old performance trap that we've studied, Satan's lie, perform. It's all a lie. But we choose to do it, oriented to sin. They're impressed with sin. They think that sin causes God to abandon them. That woman that reared me wasn't a great spiritual lady, and I know that. But she never filled us with that stuff. If you sin or do wrong, God's not going to like you. I never heard that from her. Not once. Not once. And when I did wrong, guess what? There was still the hot meal in the evening and clean sheets and a good night hug. That's what I learned. See? But some people, God ain't going to like you anymore. God's going to get you. You've done something really bad. See? I always like the old story, a girl, single, promiscuous, gets pregnant. God's cursing her. God's getting her. Oh. Well, let's see. I know some other girls that are promiscuous, and they're not getting pregnant. So I guess God's blessing them. Is that what that means? No. Be careful what you do with God. Be careful how you associate sin and God. Associate righteousness and God. See? Now, point two. They prefer a love that does not impose on them. A love that glorifies the flesh. A love that is grounded on them. And they can boast how much they love God, how much they love Jesus. They're impressed with how much they love God. If you think the dynamics of the Christian way of life is in obedience with the law, you are burdened with the weakness of the flesh. You're burdened with the power of sin. Your Christian life is characterized by repentance, confession, feeling sorry, fighting the flesh, all this kind of stuff. Point three. But the new commandment given to the church by Jesus Christ gives a consciousness and awareness not of sin, but of Jesus Christ. You don't think about sin when you think about spiritual love. You don't even think about the sin of the people you're going to love. You think about Him. If you're doing this correctly, as I have loved you. So your thought is no longer sin. Your thought is Jesus Christ. Your thought is no longer them, how they're rude, whatever it is you have a problem with them. You're thinking about Christ, how He loved you. And that's how you're going to love them. So the new commandment means an awareness of Christ, not sin. Not loving Him from the flesh, but in loving Him as He loved you. Obey the commandments of the Mosaic Law, you become aware of the power of sin and the weakness of your own flesh. Obey the law of Christ to love one another as you love yourself, you become so aware of Jesus Christ. Moment by moment, day by day, you become aware of Him. Four, simply stated, commands of the Mosaic Law, as you think of them and as you obey them, you're occupied with sin. Do not, do not, do not. You become aware of the power of sin. And then you are occupied with the power of sin. But when you think of the new commandment by Jesus Christ, to love one another as He loved, you are, by definition of the new commandment, you're caused to think of Jesus Christ. Love one another as I have loved you. So by the very nature, by definition of the new commandment, you're caused to think of how Christ loves you. Not a sin, not a self, not the effect of sin, but the effect and the power of love. That's what you're called to think about. How His love did what His love did for you. So it goes like this. Commandments of the Mosaic Law draw attention to sin, the inherited sin nature, the penalty, the power. Command of Jesus Christ draws attention to Jesus Christ and His love for you. You choose. You want to live your life thinking about commands, sins, or do you want to live your life thinking about love? Jesus Christ, how He loves you. It's your decision. It's your decision. You are, by definition, by structure of commands of the Mosaic law, to think of sin. Do and do, don't do, don't do, do and do, don't do. Think about it. That's how you live by law. See? But under the new commandment, you are, by its structure, not caused to think of sin, nor think of even of yourself. You're caused to think of Jesus Christ, and then His love for you. How He dealt with you, and that will tell you how to deal with this person, regardless of their sins, regardless of what they've done. You now know how to love them, how to treat them, what your attitude should be toward them. It's that simple. Now, point five. The law of Jesus Christ, that is the new commandment, to love one another, is in itself freedom from enslavement to the Mosaic law. Think about it. The new commandment, the law of Christ, to love one another as He loved you, is freedom from the enslavement of the Mosaic law, and is therefore freedom from power of sin over your life. Freedom from power of sin over your life. You can make a decision concentrating on your weakness based on your sin pattern, or you can make a decision based your life on the love of Christ for you. It's up to you. You get to decide how you want to live, day in and day out, how you want to live with one another, family members, church members, work, social, whatever. You get to decide how you're going to live. Loving one another as Jesus Christ loves you frees you from the power of sin and glorifies the power of the love of God. That's what it does. Mosaic law given by man, new commandment given by the Son of God. You choose. Sin has power, and you live by the Mosaic law, you live under the power of sin. You try to break that under the flesh, you just become more bondage to the law. Decide to live under the new commandment, you're set free of the law, and you live free in Christ. Point six. Commands of the Mosaic law, being oriented to sin, are therefore related to and emphasizes the righteousness and justice of God, and live in fear of the righteousness and justice of God. This is why people that are occupied with sin, think about this, think that you can sin and lose your salvation. That's how much credit they give sin. They're occupied with it. They're obsessed with it. You can actually undo what Christ did on the cross by your sins. How blasphemous is that? But that's what happens when you're occupied with sin. Sin becomes dominant. Sin becomes more powerful than Christ. More powerful than the work of Christ on the cross. If you're occupied with sin, you can tell if you're occupied with sin. Someone says, oh, they're horrible people. God will never use that person. On and on and on. Wrong. You're under the bondage of sin. Set, get free. Get under the bondage of grace. Get under grace. Get under the new commandment of love. You don't think about sin. So the commands of the Mosaic law, being oriented to sin, are oriented to the justice of God and the righteousness of God and the fear of God. He's going to come and get you. See? Mosaic law emphasizes sin and how sin is in violation to the righteousness and justice of God, and God is going to get you. You're occupied with God, all right, but in fear of Him, not of His love. You're occupied with God, but you're occupied with the fear of God, not with His love. And people, this is extremely dangerous to try to think about how much you love God, and therefore God ought to love you, God ought to do for you. And then when you sin, oh, I don't deserve this. Oh, boy, I'm really out. I deserve His love. Oh, I've sinned. I don't deserve. God's going to get me. I'm through. I'm washed up. I can never smile again. God can never use me. I had an abortion. I did something really sinful, really wrong, and God's through with me. How horrible is that? What kind of God is that? What a sick view of God that is to have. It's extremely dangerous to have the wrong view about God. See, the emphasis is not on your love for Him, but His love for you. That's the emphasis. His love for you, as I have loved you. Not your love for Him. Doesn't say anything about that. As I have loved you. And that's how we're to love one another. Well, we'll resume here next Sunday morning. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, there's a battle constantly going on. Our flesh nature, our inherited sin nature, battling against the new man that we are in Christ. And Father, we're so thankful that You have given to us Your Spirit to win this battle. And all we have to do is to thank faith and to trust Your Spirit. Trust Your Word. Trust You. Trust Your Son. And we're set free of the law. We're free to love one another as Christ has loved us. Father, I pray Your Spirit will take the things we've seen this morning. Use these things to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. In His precious name we pray. Amen.